Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we started the morning off with our girlfriend Vivian and her socially conscious segment. Woo! Rat infestation was the opening of the morning, as there is now a Rat Infestation Academy. Yep, you can take a course to get that rat management under control. There is a community training that is free, whether you want to take that class in person or online. And it focuses on the biology and the behavior of rats. Well, I don't know, you know, who wants to take this class, but my thought was, yeah, if you are running some type of a building, especially any type of restaurant, if you are, you know, someone who is a super, you might want to take these classes, you know, help the city understand what's going on, so that you can do everything that you need to do, so that you can find out whether you're doing everything you're supposed to do. I think learning about this isn't too much and might help the city be rid of the rat problem. What do you think? I don't know. The migrants. Oh, they're on the radar again. As a newly arrived young man, 20 years old, said that he set his sight on getting his high school diploma when he came to the United States, is finding it very difficult to get that done as he has moved around from place to place since he's been here. And it's difficult to focus on school and getting your high school diploma. And, you know, they have now changed the stay at the New York City shelters to 60 days if you're in between the ages, you know, if you're underage, rather, so that you can focus on getting your high school diploma, going to school and things like that. You know, thought about the fact that, you know, they promised these people so much when, you know, they were coming here. And even if you didn't come right out and say, hey, you can get a better education. Hey, you know, you can do this or get that. People have their mind already set as to what the United States has to offer. So once they were on their way here, once you gave them that offer to come here, then, you know, for some people, the sky's the limit. And, you know, Vivian brought up a really good point yesterday when she said that, you know, they don't want to leave New York City. So how bad do you really want this high school diploma? Because if you're being offered to go anywhere you want to go, if I really wanted my high school diploma, how many states I got? 50 states to do this in? And guess what? Come back to New York later. Well, what's the big deal? So, you know, I don't know if I'm feeling all sorry for these people. Because if you really want to get ahead and you really want that diploma the way you say you do, then you can get that done anywhere here in the United States. And it may not be as exciting as New York City. It may not even be as lucrative as New York City. But, yo, you're 20 years old. You're an adult. And I know that New York is probably not the only state that's offering, let's say, that alternative school age program that's 17 to 21. So you're still within those parameters. Go get that education and come back with that diploma swinging in the air. And now you're eligible to get work where you may not be eligible now. Okay? Okay. Doesn't sound so bad after all, right? Right. Well, the story of the morning for Stephanie was the 31-year-old who founded the Cry Spa. Yes, where you can get well sessions, and you have been getting well sessions or could get it since 2022. You can book a 30-minute appointment in a private sob room and go back to work like nothing happened, dry your eyes, go back to living your life. $20 per 30-minute session. Yeah. You know, considering that, you know, people are walking around with a lot of heartache and things like that, it offers some tissue, an under eye patch, and maybe another thing or two. I don't really remember. And you have an on-call licensed individual, mental health crisis individual. So, you know, hey, come on, come on, come on. Get that cry on. Well, fortunately, you know, the church is not that appealing where you can go. Some churches 24 hours a day for free and go in and find the peace of God where you can focus, you know, on the Lord, you know, and that calm understanding, you know, maybe a pastor's there who can talk to you and, you know, get, you know, something a little more than just a sob room. And you can get a word. You can get some comforting. You can get, you know, maybe a scripture or two that you can walk away with. You know, the Bible tells us that God is close to the brokenhearted. Right? Right. So there's no way that, you know, God has a cry spa as the only thing available for us when, you know, someone's broken our heart or there's some issue going on that is overwhelming and you need a whale session. You know, when I hear that word, whale session, that means that you are really, 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 you know, down. You know, that's a whale to me is something that is coming straight from the heart. It's an intense cry. And the reason why you probably need your private sob room is because it's a loud cry. Yeah. So that means that you're in some real level of distress. Well, an empty room for me is not quite what God wants for us. You know, we are walking around already empty. So do we now go and pay for an empty room if we're already empty inside? You know, there's a lot of things that we go through that would make us cry. You know, it's a lot of stuff. It doesn't only have to be heartache. It can be, you know, just an overwhelming, you know, mom's period, you know, where the kids are driving her crazy, or, you know, things sometimes in life just ain't right. And you can really get there. So I really doubt the fact that, you know, you might really need a whale session and have probably taken one, you know, at the drop of a dime at times. But God has a plan. God has a plan, and it's a little bigger than a cry spa, because he does not want you to cry and wipe your eyes and act like, that was the thing for me, act like nothing happened. You need to have that whale session. You need to get that comfort and that peace that only God can give you. And when you finish that whale session and you wipe your eyes, you can now say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. Thank you. And when I get back to that desk, I'm going to remember that something happened. I may not have to act like nothing is wrong, but I can now marinate on the fact that something broke me down so badly a moment ago. But now I'm gathering, you know, all of my composure, and I'm getting there, and I may not be there, but at least I don't have to act like nothing happened. And I get the premise. I get the premise. You know, everybody ain't got to know your business, pretty much. You know, so don't think I don't understand. I get it. I get it. But I don't know. I don't know. You know, too many people are acting like nothing happened. And what that means for one person is definitely not what that means for someone else. So, you know, if we put our hands in the hand of the man who calms the waters, if we put our hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea, wow, now that can be a whale session unlike any other we've ever had. And we didn't have to pay a dime. We didn't have to spend it alone. And we can remember what happened after that last whale session. That was productive. Amen. All right. That's just some of my thoughts from, you know, yesterday that I kind of went into afterwards, that kind of walked with me all day, and just thanking God that I have Jesus. Because if I didn't, I'd be one hot mess. Woo! Well, that's how we spent our Wednesday morning. Today, Today is Therapeutic Thursday, the morning we get to talk about our health, and we just got finished talking about it, yes. So we kind of got a little preliminary yesterday into today, where we talk about our physical health, emotional health, mental health, spiritual health, financial health, whatever health we need to talk about. And you know how we do over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. We get it done. A lot of time, laughter is the best medicine around here. So I got some stories. I don't know where it's going to take us. And I invite you to join us this morning. All right, come on and go for a ride and see how you come out on the other end, okay? Okay. Go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Hello, I'm Pierre Abiste of Union Bank. Diversity is one of our most closely held values. This is why we're proud to honor local heroes in celebration of Disability Awareness Month. Let's meet one of our honorees.
My name is Al Kovac, and I am the Senior Vice President of Paralyzed Veterans of America. Imagine being a very able-bodied, healthy person and then waking up the next day completely paralyzed. So the Paralyzed Veterans of America will come to your bedside when they find out you're there. And they will take care of your housing benefits, monthly compensation, and they will guarantee that you will get health care for the rest of your life. Especially when you're brand new injury, you need to have that family there. When I'm engaged in sports, it seems like people seem to want to ask more questions about my disability. It's almost like an awareness program on wheels. I love serving my country as a Navy SEAL, but I also love serving my country in a wheelchair.
Again, welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yeah, the day we talk about our health in all shapes, forms, and fashions, getting some of that information out there, getting our health tips, and just talking, and hopefully, prayerfully, getting some remedies to some things, you know, and not knowing how God is going to answer prayer this morning. So, what are we talking about in our health tips today? Well, for those of you who like cashiers, better known as cashews, well, the ones that are sold at Trader Joe's have been recalled. Yeah. So the company, Wenders LLC, has issued a recall of Trader Joe's 50% less salt, roasted and salted whole cashews. And certain lots of this particular product may have come in contact, they say, with salmonella, and that is not a fun thing to experience, that salmonella illness. And they found the contamination during a routine test. Now, they say that the SKU number is 37884, it's India or Vietnam country of origin, but it has different lot numbers. So if you do have some of these nuts in your possession, please look up the lot numbers. They were sold at Trader Joe's locations in 16 states, including Alabama, Arkansas, Kansas, Louisiana, Nevada, Tennessee, and Texas. Well, thank God no illnesses have been reported at this time. If you've eaten some of these cashews, they say the symptoms of salmonella can include fever, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pain. And salmonella is extremely, extremely possibility of fatality. Elderly people, young children, and people with a weakened immune system, and pregnant women. So if you have them and you haven't gotten sick, you can throw them in the garbage, or either you can return it to Trader Joe's for a full refund. All right, so don't worry about your money. You'll get your money back. All right. Well, I have a story here that leads to a health tip. There's a gentleman who says he lost the love of his life, 36, after she went to the doctor and they misdiagnosed her pretty much. 36-year-old woman, Anila, who says that, he says that her lower back pain was, you know, bothering her, and discomfort in her stomach. She was bleeding more than usual. I guess that's her menstrual cycle. And they went to the doctor, and she was diagnosed with having a urinary tract infection and dehydration, and was sent on her way. Unfortunately, she was diagnosed later with stage 4 cervical cancer, and she passed away 19 months later. Her husband or her partner says that, you know, after she found out that she was ill and she did not get better and she was experiencing pain in her legs, her lower back was still bothering her, her abdomen was bothering her, the bleeding still was not under any level of control. The doctor said that they couldn't find anything really wrong with her. Maybe it was kidney stones, maybe it was cystitis, and they gave her some medication and told her that she probably just wasn't drinking enough water. But after she continued to go back and forth to the doctor, they gave her more tests, and later she was diagnosed with the cervical cancer. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, that was extremely heartbreaking. I know there are several stories that I've come across these last few months where people have said that they were experiencing this or that. And before they knew it, it was some serious illness that they had. And unfortunately, we're not the doctors. So when we go to the doctor and we let them know what's going on, they, you know, we rely on them to be able to tell us what's going on. So this morning, I'm going to give you some you know, little points about cervical cancer. They say that this cervical cancer is most commonly diagnosed in women in their early 30s, and there are around 3,200 new cases and 850 deaths each year in the UK alone. They say that there's a 5-year survival rate, and that's around 70%. And it's better, as always, if it's caught earlier. Cervical screening programs and HPV vaccines have reduced rates and saved 4,000 lives each year. All right, now we see the commercial for HPV in our younger children, so make sure you get that vaccine, okay? So they say that they want us to pay attention to that unusual bleeding. They say often after sex, between periods, or after the menopause, pain and discomfort during sex, vaginal discharge, often an unpleasant smell, pain in your lower back, between your hip bones, or in your lower abdomen. They say that women should have regular cervical screenings between the ages of 25 and 64. How often depends on your age. The HPV vaccine helps protect against the virus. Is recommended for children age 12 to 13 and people at higher risk from HPV. All right? And most of those symptoms that they just gave us, that young woman had experienced. So, you know, if you're noticing some things, please don't ignore it. That is one of the worst things we could possibly do, is ignore our body. When things don't seem right, things don't feel right, guess what? More than likely, it's not right. It's not right. So you know your body. And again, my suggestion is write things down. You know, if you notice that it's been a week and you've had this heavy bleeding, write it down. You know, start it this week, the week of. You know, these things, make sure you journal, because when the doctor asks you, hey, how long? You won't be sitting there talking about, I don't know, I don't remember. Because it's hard to remember. Life goes on and things happen. So, you know, we don't want to be 2 months in and you can't remember when it started. Because that can easily happen. All righty. Well, let's get to our news. I've got an update, and I mean it's a good update. So remember we talked a while ago about that Cleveland mom who left her toddler home alone in a playpen while she went on that 10-day vacation? Remember that? That wicked wench. Oh, my goodness gracious. So you've got this Christelle who went on a 10-day, they said, vacation to Puerto Rico with her boyfriend. Yeah. Sometimes I like to give the story before I give the dum dum dum. Yeah, they said she went on a vacation with her boyfriend to Puerto Rico and to Detroit. And she left the little girl in the playpen all by herself for 10 days. And they say when she got home, she noticed the baby wasn't responsive, and she redressed the little girl after she called the, before she called the first responders, and she put nice little clean clothes on her, and that was not going to mask, you know, what had happened. Well, I mean, these people see this all the time. She said she found feces on Jalen's hands and feet, under her fingernails, and on her mouth and teeth. And they said that she thought it was dirt. You know, I don't know how these people live with themselves. So she ended up calling, and after a while, you know, they really understood that the baby had passed away. She was a former substitute teacher. This is the thing that always kills me with these people. These people have some good jobs. And I don't know. It's like, what goes on in your head that says, I'm going away with my boyfriend. He offered me an opportunity for a vacation. There was literally no one that she could have asked to hold this baby while she was away. You really felt like your only recourse was to leave the baby in the playpen by herself for 10 days, and her parents had the nerve to ask the judge for mercy and compassion through an interpreter, might I add, because they say their daughter suffered from mental and emotional illnesses, and that her judgment, she couldn't have good judgment and reason because she suffered from these particular mental illness issues. Now, see, for me, you don't want to say that. You don't want to say that to me, and I'm about to sentence this woman because she put this baby in this crib or bassinet or whatever, playpen, for 10 days. Then where were y'all? Where were you when you knew you hadn't heard from her in 10 days and you hadn't spoken to her about the baby? You couldn't check on the baby, nothing. So my thing is, I'm going to sit. I told y'all before, I'm not raising no flag. I'm not out there with no picket sign, free Shantice, free Shawnees, free Tamasia. No, no. If you knew your daughter had mental illness problems when she had the baby, that was already a problem. She's only 32 years old. She's not some old woman. So if y'all could come sit up in court, that means you were close enough to be able to keep your eye on this family. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for you. Shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Shut up. Don't say anything. Well, the judge was not having it. He wasn't trying to hear it, and he sentenced her to life. Amen. You know, the judge said that she had many opportunities to save her daughter, And they said that he also said she probably had lived for about a week. So that's 3 days too late. You didn't go for 1, 2, 3 days. You went for 10. So while you were living it up in Puerto Rico and Detroit, really, your baby was dying and suffering. So, oh, well, you're going to jail for the rest of your life. You get an opportunity to see what it is to suffer, hopefully. All righty. Well, I got a question for y'all. They have this story, and I don't know what to think. I know what to think. Y'all know what I'm saying. And it's just, you know, kind of like scratching my head here, and I'll tell you why in a little while. So there's a nail spa in Atlanta, and they have gained quite a bit of attention after they introduced a Hennessy pedicure, and this has now trended on social media. They say that the liquor giant took to what we know as Twitter and reacted to Buckhead Signature Nails viral video. And, you know, they show these women getting a quote-unquote fancy experience, which included having Hennessy drizzled over your feet. Now, they showed this woman who shared her experience getting what they call a 24-carat gold pedicure at the nail spa. But it was the Hennessy that stole everyone's attention. This woman who gave the clip on social media says that have you ever had a back massage or a mobile bar with signature drinks and snacks while getting a pedicure? I have had a unique experience here at the Buckhead Signature Nails. They have a 24-carat gold pedicure where they actually put the gold on your feet, and it feels amazing. They give back massages. They have the jelly pedi here, and I highly recommend this unique experience here. It's like no other. They are one of the biggest nail shops in Atlanta. So they looked at how social media actually responded to this posting. And they're like, yo, Atlanta be trying to squeeze Hennessy and mimosas into everything. Another poster, they said 25 cents worth of liquor, probably a $90 service. Americans eat up a good span. So they were looking at the fact that, you know, this person or these people pay all this money for this Hennessy treatment, where some have said that it's like gold on their feet. The pedicure is so smooth. I don't know. I would love to know what y'all think. Because my thing is, what's the difference? I can't see. Now, I don't drink. You know, they say Hennessy is top shelf. And I don't see where it would be all that, you know, beautiful and a wonderful experience on my feet. What's the big deal? I don't know. So maybe after I speak to my due time crew, I can hear the difference. I don't know. What else is worth talking about? Oh, there's this huge thing going on in New York and other states, but definitely here in New York. They've in the last few weeks, they've had this whole thing about these squatters. And they've been going kind of buck wild over here. So there's this Queens woman. She was arrested for protecting her house. So you have this Andel who inherited her family's house out in Flushing after her parents passed away. And she was preparing to sell the property when, of course, the squatters took over. They installed an entire new front door and changed the locks. I mean, you have to change the locks on a brand new front door, but they changed the locks from her. And they pretty much locked her out of her childhood home. So being that she saw the other, you know, news stories, she called ABC News and she told them that she was real frustrated and fearful that they were going to get away with stealing her house. So they went to the house with her and everything was on camera. So when she got to the house, she saw some woman approaching, and she unlocked the door. And when she saw the camera crew, she left really quickly. But the camera crew kept filming. And it was this owner, along with her daughter. And she had in her possession the property deed. She went in, and she found two men on the inside. And they called the cops. When they called the cops, when they showed up, they were actually arrested because they could not prove after the police interviewed them that they had the proper documentation for being there and that they had been there more than 30 days. So they had one, you know, both men were escorted off. One was handcuffed. And that, you know, you think is the end of the story. But no, before the police left, they told this Andel, who's the homeowner, don't change the locks. Now, in your mind, you gonna change the locks because that's how they've been able to get in and you haven't. So she says that, you know, if I don't end up changing the locks, they'll get access and I'll be the one still locked out. So she called the locksmith, had the locks changed. Another man comes, and he's there with the one who was escorted. Because remember, the other one was handcuffed. And honey, they called the cops on her, and she was arrested. So the cops told her that he couldn't kick her out. She needed to go to court. And now she's, you know, fighting this long uphill battle. So, you know, we had this conversation last week with Brother Al about, you know, all these people who are, you know, pulling the scam, people who are in your house, who are not supposed to be there, what you do, and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it's really, it's a catch-22 situation. You know, you're going to have to be ready to fight this battle, as we talked about, and these people are taking over. These people are getting real crafty. They're taking over. More and more people are experiencing these, you know, episodes of, you know, people getting in on their property, locking them out, and they are really wanting you. Do not leave your properties vacant, you know, without making sure that things are really locked up. Constantly go. This is one of the things we were talking about last week. You know, I'm not going to get any property that I can't keep my eye on, or, you know, this particular case, you know, and another case that I read, these people were actually preparing to sell, so they're not living there, but they're saying, you know what, leave lights on, make it appear somebody's there, let people see you going in and out. You know, if they really want to, they're going to find their way in. I mean, they just get that crafty, and they watch you. They watch you. They got time. They don't have no jobs. They got nothing else to do. They need a nice place to live. They need to be comfortable. And they're saying that if you constantly keep your eye on your place, if you constantly go back and forth, that you can actually fight this before they get this 10-day, 30-day stay there. You know, people are leaving the property, you know, and coming back days, weeks later before they notice anybody there. So what they're saying is don't leave your place unoccupied too long. That way if you go away for 1-2 days, you come back, the people are there, you can call the cops immediately. And that way you can get them off your premises. But if you leave the place for 2-3 weeks, now these people have an opportunity to say some things that can get you sitting up in, you know, the courthouse. So keep an eye on your property. Make sure, you know, let a neighbor go by. You know, if you can't, you know, be there yourself, let a neighbor go by. Again, put lights on. And, you know, people used to do that old school. Yeah, I don't know if y'all remember that. But people used to leave the lights on to pretend like somebody was there. Some people used to play music. Some people used to put their music on a timer, put TVs on a timer so things would be playing. So, you know, at this point, if people are really squatting your house, they're going to know whether people are really there or not. So that's why I say make your presence known. If you got to have family members with some keys just to kind of go through there, you know, every once in a while, let them see constant activity. That's what's really going to keep, you know, these squatters from being able to squat. That's the whole premise. Don't give them an opportunity to get comfortable. All right? All right. Let's talk to Due Time Crew and see what they're talking about and they got to say this morning. We unexpectedly have a full house. Wow. This has not happened in quite some time. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am in the house. How are you today?
Amen. Good. I am well. Thank you. Happy to have you in the house. And we got not a whole lot of stories this morning, but let's talk about this mama who now has been sentenced to life. Some people are saying that because of her deeds, that she should be sentenced to death. And, you know, today I want to focus on, Tamika, what are the readers saying, you know? And I haven't read. I didn't read anything. I wanted to read it as I was reading it to you all. So there is a statement. If the grandparents knew that their daughter had mental issues, they should have done often a well-being check. They should know better that their daughter could not be trusted alone with the toddler. Therefore, the parent, grandparents should be charged, as an accessory to murder. I'm willing to bet that the mother often leaves the toddler alone while she goes to work and when she goes to parties. Hard to believe she works as a substitute teacher. Whoa! What say you?
Well, that was, you know, not word for word what I thought. But my thing is, if you know that your child has mental issues, it is your responsibility. I mean, you are a parent, and I get it, you know, that you've raised your children, but you have a child who has an issue. And so with that, unfortunately, you do have to play a role, you know, and you can't cry, you know, oh, help me now that the grandchild is gone. You know, if I knew that my child had that type of a degree, you know, or an issue, we're not going to go 10 days and then find out later on. You know, I'm going to be calling on you. I need a key to your house. You know, there's no, oh, well, I'm grown. And no, not at this point when you have a mental issue, you know, and I know that you have it. You know, so you have to play a role. It's a sad thing, but yeah, you know, why weren't the grandparents somewhere responsible? You know, where is your responsibility when it comes to your child that you know have mental issues?
All righty. Got the ball rolling. Let's say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop of the morning, chop of the morning. I ain't at work today. All is well. Oh, yeah.
I noticed it was extremely silent in the background. Hey there, Brother Al.
Hi. It's all good. All good in the hood.
All right now. Listen, Brother Al, this reader says the grandparents should be charged as an accessory to murder because they knew that she had mental illnesses instead of pleading for compassion for their daughter. What say you?
Okay, I do have a quick question. When they said she went away for 10 days, who did they say who she went away with?
A man.
Okay, that's what I thought. So the grandparents and her man should be charged because you knew she had a child and you knew that she left that baby there. He should be charged as well.
All right. You know,
he a boyfriend. He's like he a friend and don't know. He a boyfriend, so you know she got a baby.
See, and I thought that too, Brother Al. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fine. Yeah. And the parents, yes, the parents should be because now, why? Because you're sitting there pleading, oh, she got mental illness. So you knew she had mental illness, so why you didn't do nothing? Yep, charge them too. These parents need to be charged when you know that your child has an issue. You know that when we spoke last week about the child that shot up some stuff in the parent, yeah, go to jail, you're going to. And now you want to come and plead. Oh, can you have mercy? Not somebody seems to have mercy for you, you're going to. Send them all in. Lock them all up. Big Bubba and Big Bertha waiting for them all. Send them all in.
You know, Brother Al, I thought about the boyfriend, and I said to myself, mm-hmm. Could it have been? I'm just saying, could it have been where she told him the baby was with the parents? I don't know.
It could be. Yeah, it could be. Give him a lie detector test just to make sure. So you knew you were going down too.
Oh, my goodness. No, I actually agree with you there, Brother Al. If you knew that she left that baby alone, you are just as responsible while y'all were laying out on the beach for this baby's death. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Where's our Pastor KL? Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Yo, K.L. period is in the his house. Good morning.
You know what? You were hanging out on the beach drinking that Hennessy. What in the world is going on? Wow. These are some new greetings you've been hitting me with. Wow. Oh, my goodness gracious. I ain't got to ask you how you doing. So, Pastor KL, we're talking about what the readers are saying. Somebody says, I'm going to not say what should happen to her, But we should start by putting her in the same conditions for 10 days. What say you?
Well, okay, so I'm lost because this is a story that I have not heard. But I'm guessing
okay.
She left the child behind from the comments that I'm hearing, that she went on a trip
yes.
and left the baby by herself.
Yeah,
yes,
she left
she
the baby by herself. Say that again?
Yeah, she should be locked up. I mean, there's no other story. She need to be locked up for a very, very long time. And, you know, and like already been said, if you knew that she had mental illness, someone should have took the baby from the beginning. Because she, obviously she was not qualified to raise no child. She couldn't raise herself. So now you want to plead for an issue that you already knew about at birth. No. You didn't even give a chance. You didn't give the child a fighting chance. She came
mm-hmm.
out blackballed. So, yeah, she should have been there for long.
Yes. She did get life. She did get, this is our second round. This is an update. She
okay.
did get life. The judge did sentence her to life. All right, Pastor KL, you hold down that K.L. We'll be back shortly. Let's talk to our girl, Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
How are
you? Good morning.
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah.
Good. I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay. All right.
Morning.
Somebody said 10 days. I say for the rest of her natural life, which would be about 1 week without water and about 2 to 3 months without food. That's what she should get. What say you?
Yes, in my former life. Yes, because just thinking about the baby, you know, when you were first given the story, Pastor Steph, and they said the baby survived about a week and then passed. And just thinking about the baby laying there just screaming because the baby's starving, hungry, and there's nothing the baby could do but just sit there and scream. And now even with you being locked up, you're still going to get fed. You're still, even if it's bread and water, you're still going to get something, you know. And when you think about how you feel whenever you're hungry or if you're out in the street, and you don't have any money, but you know you have food in the house, and you're like, oh, just as soon as I get home, then I can eat. Or even if you have money to get something in the street, but you still have to travel to get to whatever, you know, whether it's a fast food restaurant or whatever, to get something. It's like, I can see why, you know, whoever left that comment said you need to feel that. Because, you know, as adults, or even as a child who's old enough to go in the refrigerator and get, even when you get those hunger pains, you can go and meet that need as a baby. There's nothing. You are 100% dependent on whoever is governing you. And the parents who do this, it's like they don't think about that part at all. When you think, oh, I'm going to just leave my child, or I'm going to be here but not do for my child, there's nothing that they can do. So, yeah, I can really understand why they're saying, oh, okay, so it was nothing for you to leave the man I have, then you go a week with nothing.
Alrighty,
and you still stand
alrighty.
On the line. You still stand on the line with a tray, but you get nothing put on your tray when you go down the line.
All right. Well, we got Vivian who's joined us today. Oh, we got a nice little round here. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning, everyone. How is everybody doing today?
All righty. Thank you. All righty.
All is well.
All righty. So someone says the punishment does not fit the crime. There is no better instance where an eye for an eye applies. Food and water should be withheld so that this person experiences the same cruelty she inflicted on the baby. Unfortunately, our society is too civilized for an eye for an eye. What say you, Viv?
I say she got the justice that she needed. She got life in jail or life in prison with no possibility of parole. And I think that's better than killing her at the end of the day, because everything that they're talking about would kill her. I think let her spend the rest of her natural born life in jail fighting for her life, because when they find out what she did and why she's in there, she's going to have to defend herself and on many occasions. So let her deal with that and let her live with the fact of what she did to her child for the rest of her natural life. And I think that's punishment for her. To kill her in 10 days, a month, or whatever, that's taking it easy on her. I say let her suffer in there for the rest of her life and have to deal with what she did.
All righty. All right, we've got this Hennessy pedicure that social media is like, really, y'all? And this woman who got the pedicure says, oh, this is the 24-carat gold pedicure now that the Hennessy has been added. Brother Al, is this an overly expensive pedicure? Or is it like, hey, I'd love to get me one of these?
Black folks, stop. Go out and vote. You know what I mean? Go out and vote. Black folks drive me nuts with stupidness. Oh, my God. I'm listening to it. I'm sitting there cracking up. There had to be black folks. I know it is. To come up with something that ignorant. You know what I'm saying? First and foremost, you can't touch my feet without me kicking you across the room because I'm super ticklish. Okay, that's number one. That's number one, you'll get kicked across the room. And you're not pouring no alcohol on my foot. You know what I'm saying? What the heck? You know, give me some Epsom salt or something. You know, black folks is OSD. Jesus, this is why we need Jesus. We got to call on Jesus. This is why we need him. You can give me some Epsom salt. Hey, you find a call on my foot for. Get out of here. My black folks, please stop it. Go out and vote, please. To do that. I paid to go vote. How about that?
All righty now. Pastor KL, have they lost their mind? Are they within reason? If you're willing to pay, why not? What say you? Are you talking to the mute button?
He getting his feet done.
Okay. Maybe Pastor KL has to pass this round. Who's next? Shantees.
Okay, so I'm going to get a pedicure, and you're pouring henny, as it's more commonly known, on my feet, and I'm paying for this. First of all, I don't know if it's on this side of the fence too much, because the minute we ask for something and we keep hearing $5 more, $2 more, $8 more, we start to get annoyed. You know what I'm saying? Because you got your price list up on the wall. So I walk in and I see pedicure, $40, right? And then I see spa treatment pedicure with this and this, $60. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. $60. I want the spa treatment pedicure with this and that, the stones and all that. Extra massage time, $60. And then I sit there and you tell me $5 more. I don't want to hear $5 more for nothing. Then on top of that now, as much as any cost for me to drink, I'm going to watch you pour that on my feet for an additional anything? Absolutely not. You didn't say, oh, well, for $80, you get the spa treatment with this, that, and you get some Henny cocktails that come. No, I'm going to watch you pour this on my feet? Absolutely not. That I don't know where this is happening, but that is just bogus. That sounds crazy.
All righty. Pastor KL is back with us. Pastor KL, what say you about the henny on the feet? I think there's something wrong with Pastor KL's connection.
He might have declared him mentally ill. Yeah, just pray for him.
All right.
He's going to
get himself
feet done.
All right. We're going to give him a chance to get himself together. V, Vivian, what are we talking about? Henny on the toes?
I think, I don't know if it's the black community or on the other side of the fence, but I can believe it because we're in an age where people just do things to post and start on Instagram. So I can see somebody going to get this pedicure and taking videos and pictures of it and putting it on their social media just to show that they got it. I think somebody had the bright idea that it's tax season and people are getting their income taxes. What can we do? What can we offer that they will come and spend their tax dollars here? Hey, Hennessy pedicure. I can see it happening. If you got the money now, you done got your taxes back, and now this is a way for you to get on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and show that you're doing something, and I can see it happening.
All righty, all righty. Okay, one more shot at Pastor KL. Pastor KL, you there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you
can
now.
You hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So I got a question. Suppose I didn't get a lot of taxes. You know, can I get like a Budweiser or a Bud Light pedicure? I mean, how does that work out? You know, I might not be able to get the Henderson pedicure. You know, can I, listen, back in the days we had Moat Duck, which was the cheapest bed. Can I get a Moat Duck pedicure? I'm just saying, according to my pocket, it should be what I should be able to get. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, I might be a little low.
Okay. Well, maybe you can make that suggestion, you know. If you want, the malt liquor, you just go across the street, buy it, bring it back, and maybe they'll pour it on your feet. All right? So maybe they can make you happy, Pastor KL. All right. Since I got a full house here, I got a little article here that says that women go out of their way to keep secrets from men, and they've posted which secrets women, quote-unquote, go out of their way to keep. Tamika, we're going to start with you. They say they keep the fact that we have facial hair. Oh, that's something that we don't tell. Go out of your way. What say you?
First of all, I still feel a little saucy because you didn't ask me about the male treatment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we go to the facial hair, what would you feel about this Henny pedicure?
We are always doing something. You know, I remember going to a nail salon with a bridal party, you know, and the way that they had it set up, you pay for what it is that you want, you know. And I'm looking across the board, you know, I see people with a Bellini, I see somebody with a, you know, whatever type of drink you want. They, you know, it was really nice, you know, and they did a good job. But I'm like looking at, how much did you pay? And I'm like looking at, you know, the car's going, and I'm nosy, I'm curious. I was like, $100, what did you pay for? Oh, she was like, I had two Bellinis, and then I had this and such and such and such. And then I was like, well, that's all you had? I said, you had the same massage that I had. Yeah, but I had a couple of drinks, and I'm going, oh, you're talking about, here's the thing that cracks me up. You're not even drinking it. You're putting it on my feet, you know, and I'm like Shantice, you know, when I'm the type of person, my feet are not that bad. I'm just going in there. I don't need all of this. You know, I don't have calluses. I don't have this. Just give me a regular manicure. You know, I do like a nice design. That's all I need, you know. And I saw all kinds of stuff. I saw this thing that looked like a crock pot. And they had something that looked like candle wax. You put your feet in it. And I was looking at this lady. She got her feet in there. And she took her feet out and literally that's what it looked like. Like they took candle wax, they peeled it off her foot, and she was like, oh, this is so good. And I'm going, oh, you could have went home and got you a crock pot and put some candle wax. and I'm like, how much? You just said, oh, it's $120. $120? You're thinking,
wow.
I'm going to finish.
Wow.
So,
wow,
you know,
wow.
Maybe you need to go see Shanaynay, let her get the, you know, the power driver and do that type of thing. Because it was crazy. You taking Hennessy, and you put, I don't even get to drink
on my feet. Yeah, and you saying this is, you know, a fabulous experience. I'm just, you know, and we're not advocating alcohol, but I'm just saying if I'm going to buy it, it's not going to go on my feet. You know, I just, I'm not getting it. And we are always coming up with a plan to do something, you know, and I honestly think that you have nothing better to do. It's tax season. I'm with Vivian. Let's make some money in this particular spot. Let's big it up so that, you know, you can spend your money. There's always a gimmick for you to spend money, and there it is.
Well, before you go any further, there was a question posed. They are on our side of the fence, by the way.
No surprise.
Yeah, no. Didn't surprise me either. Did not surprise me either, not in the least bit. Actually, when I read it, I didn't think it was on the other side of the fence. I would have been surprised if it was. I would have been very surprised if it was. So to answer everyone's curiosity, yep, it's us. It's definitely us. All right, Lady Tamika, let's get to this Women Hide Things from Men. And that includes the fact that we have facial hair. Are you over there shaving before Brother Al gets up in the morning?
At this point, there is absolutely nothing to hide. You know, when you say I do, there is no hiding. You know, I'm plucking, I'm pulling, I'm shaving. Whatever it is I got to do, I'm doing it. But, you know, I think in essence, it's not something that we talk about on a regular, you know. And when we do, you know, we get to talk to sister girl who just happened to be, you know, where we are, and she's plucking. Or sometimes what we do is I've seen women put makeup, you know, over a spot because where they're located, sometimes it's difficult to pull. So you hide it with makeup or – there's plenty of other things that women do. It is definitely something that we don't necessarily talk about. And I think it is for some women, it's something that you don't want to bring up. You know, he's shaving and you're shaving. That's not a conversation that you want to talk about. He's in the bathroom, you in the bedroom, and both of y'all shaving. Problem.
All right, Brother Al, Tamika has just said, yes, she's shaving in the morning before you get up. What say you?
Well, it was nice being married to you. We're not going to be sitting up in there sharing shavers, okay? We're not going to do it. But, yeah, I think that is something that, you know, a secret that women keep because, you know, I think some women are embarrassed. You know, that happens, you know, you just get some little hairs. And I'm okay with that, but if you got a full beard, there's going to be a situation. But I do think that's something that, I think that's something maybe too high because maybe a little embarrassing. But I'm not going to be sitting in there and you're like, hurry up with the razor so I can use it.
Oh, my goodness. Pastor KL, she says that she hides the fact that she has facial hair. Is that a biggie for you?
I mean, when your mustache is bigger than mine, yeah, we got kind of got a problem with that. You know, I mean, no one wants to know at the honeymoon they married a Bigfoot. You know, that's just not you know, hair all over the place. No. Yeah, that's a problem for me. And then I start kicking myself because I start wondering how did I not know. You know, at some point, you know, as Tamika says, you got to take the makeup off. Did you keep on makeup for the whole 2 years we were dating? You know, did I not feel the peach fuzz while we was, you know, cheek to cheek? You know, when your sideburns are bigger than my sideburns, did I think that was the baby hair? I don't know. Something wrong.
Chante, we have facial hair. We hiding it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want you to know that we both need to go to get a lineup. So I would have to be, you know, trying to figure out some type of laser surgery or something because that's just not going to sit well with a lot of men. you know, it's like Pastor Kale said, it's one thing, you know, you may have to tweeze a hair here and there, but this now, like, I need shaving cream or something like this. I don't know how I can feel secure in a relationship, but yeah, no, that's being hidden a whole lot.
Vivian, are you shaving before Serge gets up in the morning?
Serge and I have been together going on 15 years. At this point, I need you to come in the bathroom and help me shave this facial hair. Show me how you do it so I can make sure that I'm doing it right. I'm not hiding nothing at this point.
Oh,
you ain't
no.
You don't know now. I'm not hiding nothing.
Oh, my goodness. She said, I need some help. Whoa. Goodness gracious. All right. The ladies say they tried to hide the fact that on a girls' night out, we do things you may not approve of. Brother Al.
Yeah, you better hide that. and probably, you know, yeah, I think that's a girl secret. It's, hey, we do things that you're not going to approve of. So I would say, yeah, probably so.
All righty. Shantice.
Whew. Yeah, I wouldn't want you to know if we out here trying to pick up other men. But you know what? You got to be real careful. Real, real careful. If I'm out doing stuff that, so if I'm with my group of girls and they're doing stuff they don't want their man to know, I don't need to hang around them because somebody's going to snitch. So just so I'm not in the vein when they start telling the story, I may need to find me a new friend group.
All righty, all righty. Pastor KL.
Yeah, I believe what happens in Vegas, it better stay in Vegas. Because if it comes to Alabama, we're going to have a problem. Let it stay right there in Vegas.
Oh, my. Wow. Oh, Vivian.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Back in my former life, when I was hanging out with the friends, I would do things that I wouldn't want him to necessarily know. So I can see that. That's definitely a secret that we keep. I mean, at this point now, like Shantice said, I'm not hanging around people that do things that I got to keep from my husband. But when I was dating, absolutely, that would be something that we would keep to ourselves.
All righty. And Tamika.
Yeah, there's definitely some secrets that you keep with the sisterhood, you know, if it's something that you're doing or, you know, something, a little outfit, a little risque, you know, I remember, you know, days like that, you wear something a little, you know, shorter or, you know, maybe your neck out, back out, you know, that type of thing, because that's just something that he either doesn't like because he's concerned about other gentlemen, you know, but, you know, when you're with your circle of friends, that's, you know, it's not forbidden, you know, that's in my former life, currently, you know, not mm-hmm. of course, not something I would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clean it up.
Not now. It better be a former life.
Pastor KL, everybody's eating up that former life. Everybody's eating up your former life, Pastor KL. Everybody eating up your former life. Oh.
My cash app is.
All right. Women said that they really hide the fact that we hope your guy friends secretly have a crush on us. Brother Al.
Boy, you ask a question that's going to get somebody hurt.
I'm sorry.
I think it start things today. I would hope not, but I think that should be definitely be a secret that you keep to yourself. But I think you definitely that means that you're attracted to one of my friends. If you're hoping he got a crush on you, I mean, what you hoping to get out of that? So that's definitely something you better keep to yourself.
Pastor KL, the ladies say that despite the fact that they remain loyal to you, they don't mind the fact that, you know, he has a crush on her too. What say you?
Whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. No. If you over there thinking about my boy, you know, I got to worry about you. I got to side eye you. You know, to me, there's an issue. You know, because, I mean, how loyal can you be if you're thinking and fantasizing and hoping that someone else likes you? It's time for you to go.
Shantice, you know, they say that they secretly hope that their guy friend has a crush on her.
That's real creepish. And you definitely need to keep that to yourself, because that just shows all types of insecurity levels that you have as a woman. And, yeah, that there's a whole lot wrong with you. So, yeah, that definitely needs to stay with you and you only. Don't even tell your girlfriend that. You just take that to the Lord.
All right. Vivian.
I was going to say the same thing. That's a level of insecurity that you need to be healed from, because that's ridiculous. I'm not secretly hoping that your friend likes me. I'm high key hoping that you notice that this nigga keep looking at me. And I want you to be on alert. Like, I'm on alert. Because I'm not secretly hoping nothing.
Wow.
Why you keep looking at me like that?
Whoa. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Viv. Hey, man, just say how you feel.
I've actually been in a situation like that. That's why I'm passionate about it, because I've been in a situation where I'm around my guy's friend, and his friend was acting real strange. And I told him, I'm like, do you see this? Do you notice this? Like, I need you to be on alert, because this is not okay. In your face, behind your back, in front of your face. No,
wow,
you need to
be
attention.
Wow.
Struck a nerve. Struck a nerve.
All right now. Tamika, what you got?
Answer wisely.
Listen, Al, we can always shut your mic off.
Then I'll cut.
Should I interrupt you?
So, in most instances, it is the way that Vivian speaks. You know, you trying to just live your life. You know, you are involved with your individual, and in most cases, or in a lot of cases, you don't even like that friend. You know, and so I don't want to be bothered with you. I don't want you looking at me. I don't want you talking to me. If he's not home, why are you calling me? You know, he's not home. You know, why are you sitting out? If you come about the house, you're sitting outside till he get home. You know, ain't no visiting. Oh, well, I know he gets off at 5:30, but I just figured I'd, you know, sit around the house till 4 o'clock. No, you're not. He gets here at 6 o'clock, then that's what time you get here. Don't get here a second before.
Uh-huh.
You can sit outside if you want to, but I'm not opening the door.
All right. Okie dokie now. Brother Al, I started with you. So, Pastor KL, she says, they say that they hide desperately that our friends know everything about you.
Yeah, to me, that's the problem. You shouldn't really be talking about me. And I mean, you know, people who talk about each other and then the relationship, you know, it causes a lot of rips. It really, really do, because we get into an argument. Now they side-eyeing you. You know, while you forgave me or I forgave you, they didn't forgive you. And it's just crazy. And then they put more poison into your head. Remember what he did to you last night, girl? Remember 2 years ago he hurt you, girl? No, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's definitely a problem.
All right. Shantice, she's hiding the fact that he knows, or her girlfriend knows, everything about him.
You know, the last time I told my girlfriend everything about him, she slept with him. So I don't tell nobody nothing. Everybody know that I told her this about you because this is public knowledge. This is something that she can Google. There ain't nothing top-notch secret. And if she, you know, says something, it's because, you know, it's something that you said is possibly around. And more than likely, we're not hanging with my man anyway. So, you know, you don't play those reindeer games. But, yeah, just keep all your information about your man to yourself.
Vivian.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that. I was one of the females that didn't get along with most females, so I wasn't telling all my business to my associates and friends. So I wouldn't know nothing about that. I've learned to protect my relationship because of exactly what Shanti said. You telling your friends all this information about your man, and they using it to get him. So I don't know nothing about that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tamika.
I definitely agree with the ladies, you know. If that's something, you know, if you've got a good man, then you need to keep that to yourself. You know, you start telling your girlfriend, you know, he likes strawberry shortcake. All of a sudden, she's like, yeah, come on over to the house. I'm making strawberry shortcake. Wait, you don't mean it, you know. All kinds of stuff. What information, even something subtle. You know, you have to be guarded for. You know, he's got a mole on the back of his shoulder. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, she starts telling you a story about all types of stuff. Yeah, it was a dude with a mole on his shoulder. You got to really be careful what type of information you divulge because it can come back and clearly bite you.
Brother Al.
Keep your mouth shut. You know, you got people who do it, and it comes back to haunt them. And it's something that you can't hide, because now all of a sudden, I'm seeing how your girlfriend looking at me a little different. So I know you didn't say something, because she ain't acting the same no more. You didn't say something, whether bad or good, she looking at me different. Keep your mouth closed.
Okay. Now, here's one that makes me know what side of the fence we talking about. They say we actually like your flaws. Shanti's.
What? We like your flaws? So the woman is keeping the fact that she likes your flaws to herself?
Yep.
Yeah, that ain't us. Because I'm seeing from the mountaintop what I feel like. I don't like that you got a side part issue. You shouldn't have a part at all. I don't like the sneakers you wear. We about to break up if you don't replace those. I don't like the fact that you got that friend. He broke and he cheated on his wife, but you cheated too. I don't like the fact that you don't know how to read, but you still got so much to say about people. I'm going to need you to go back to school. I don't like, no, I'm letting you know everything because it's going to be rottenness to my bones if I don't share this with you. So no, we gotta lay these floors all out. Let's lay everything out on the table.
Oh my goodness!
I suck at trying to hide how I really feel. So before there's a fight up in here, we just gonna have a truth moment and lay everything out so that we can have a healthy relationship. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I want y'all to know that the sneakers thing and stuff like it, it's true. I didn't see it for myself. It is true. Vivian, this is your last round. This is everybody's last round. How you going out? We actually like your flaws. Is this just on the other side of the fence, girl?
Absolutely. Like you said, that right there lets us know that this is on the other side of the fence, because ain't nobody on this side of the fence going secretly like your flaws. If we notice a flaw, you're going to have to pay me not to point it out to you. And I don't know if there's enough money in the world for me to not say it. So, absolutely, that's on the other side of the fence.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Pastor KL, the millennials are at it again. All right, Tamika, what
I think we need to hold hands
you?
And hold hearts.
Oh my goodness gracious, Tamika, we actually got you for all the rounds, girl. How you going out? We actually like your flaws.
Exactly. So we all have a way of, it's going to come out eventually one way or another. You know, whether it comes out in an expression that he doesn't recognize or whether it comes out in words, it's going to come out. We on our way out, and you got on them high water pants. Baby, can you find something else to wear? You know, we won't necessarily say that they're hot water, but, you know, how about you wear these? I like these, you know. Or, you know, a poncho that you done have for 90 years, it's tatted on the bottom. You know, like, you're supposed to be representing me, you know, and so I'm supposed to be representing you. And exactly, poncho. Who's wearing ponchos right now? At any rate, you know, this jacket would go a lot better. One way or another, we will get it out. But us holding it and not saying anything at all, and, oh, that's cute, that poncho. Oh, you know, the way you wear them hot water pants, and the way they, when you move, no, that's not working for us. These are flaws that you need to work on, you know. And so we will find our way, you know, to to kind of, you know, get you to a better place, you know. And hopefully you won't go back to the little tattered, you know, poncho and hot water pants.
All righty. Well, gentlemen, they say, we actually like your flaws. Well, you've heard what these women have got to say. What say you, Brother Al?
I can hear it now. Yeah, I like his floor. Don't say nothing.
Of course.
That's on the other side of the fence. You like my floors, but you're going to keep it a secret. For what? I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to be happy. Like, okay, I did a good job. You like my floors. But you're going to keep that a secret. Yes, that's definitely the other side of the fence, as you can tell, because you see the ladies, okay, you asked them about the floor, they said a whole bunch of other stuff. Hot water pants, punchos. We said, oh. So, yeah, that's definitely the other side of the fence. And that's crazy. Tell me my floors are nice. I like that.
You know what? This is why you can't keep the floors a secret, just because of that right there. Oh, my
That's
goodness
right.
gracious. Pastor KL, what say you? She says, they say, we actually like your floors.
Definitely not black folks. Definitely not. Because when she come home after you done been cooking for 4 hours and she says, is that to eat? are we supposed to eat that? Or, you know, you get up Sunday morning and she has your whole outfit picked out with the Bible. You know what I mean? She prayed you're going to wear this outfit. You know, there's a problem there. There's a problem.
Oh, my goodness. As always, the Due Time crew comes through. Laughter is the best medicine. All right. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Oh, you as well.
Have a blessed day, everybody.
Thank you. All righty. Let's get these mics off as we are about to walk into Pray for Them. Shantese, what you got?
Okay, this week on Pray for Them, we are praying for actor Morgan Freeman. Everybody knows Morgan Freeman. Joe Clark and Lean on Me. He played in the Olympus Has Fallen franchise. He played in Dark Knight. He's everywhere. He has been everywhere for years. And I had no idea that back in 2008, he suffered in a really bad, almost fatal car crash, which he now suffers from fibromyalgia due to the injuries that was a result from that car crash. And because of the injuries, he went over 4 hour surgery in an attempt to reattach his nerves in his shoulder, his arm, and his elbow. And due to that, of course, for those who suffer from fibromyalgia, you understand the inevitable pain that you go through. That really, technically, there's no cure for fibromyalgia. There's only certain meds that you can take that tell you you're not in pain, but there's like no pain meds for it. There's no cure for it, unfortunately. And because of this, unfortunately, Morgan Freeman has been a heavy supporter. Now, this is legal, but back when there was talk about legalizing this, he was one of the heavy, heavy, heavy supporters in legalizing weed, because that has been his go-to since said surgery. He has succumbed to smoking it all the time, and he says that weed is the only thing that will numb the pain that he gets from the fibromyalgia. So back in 2015 was when he was publicly and heavily supporting the movement to legalize the weed, saying that unlike alcohol, weed is useful in many ways and has no harmful effects. And I want to read a quote that he put. This was very interesting. Quote, they used to say, you smoke that stuff, like, boy, you'll get hooked. My first wife got me into it many years ago. How do I take it? However it comes. I'll eat it, drink it, smoke it, snort it. I have fibromyalgia pain in this arm, and the only thing that offers any relief is marijuana. He also pushes supporting the use of marijuana with children who suffer from seizures, saying that it will help to give them a life again. And for many obvious reasons, we are praying over this man, because yes, he's been in so many different movies and all that, but at the end of the day, he is a regular human being like everybody else, who, like a lot of other people, have now became hooked, addicted to a substance because of injuries, because of surgery. We've heard of many people, ordinary civilians, we've heard of many celebrities who have succumbed to now being addicted to painkillers, addicted to, may have started with pain meds and now they're hooked on the hard stuff, because it's a lot easier for you to go out here to the corner person and get heroin or cocaine or crack or something. But, you know, you need a prescription a lot of the times, unless you got to hook up with one of the doctors or somebody in the hospital. You can't really get the opioids and the oxy and all of that the way you can easily access the street drugs. So really praying over his body, you know, praying over his mind, because, again, from my understanding, you know, one of the main things they give patients who suffer from fibromyalgia, it tells your brain one thing while you're feeling another. So all of these, and this is really went back to something I was talking to Pastor Steph about yesterday, a feeling that I felt like God was giving me and trying to say to me, you know, all of this relying on, okay, so I need this, this is the only thing, and how the enemy is just so heavily tricking people into believing that weed is the next best thing besides sliced bread, literally. Like, the way you should eat eggs for vitamin D and iron is the way you should consume weed in order to have a stable life. Like, that's the message the enemy is pushing. So praying over his mentality, praying that he allows God to change his mindset, praying that he stops becoming an ambassador for the devil, because this is exactly what's happening, where he's not only pushing it for himself, but for the children. For the children. And because of the platform he has in an entertainment world, of course, many people, it's easy for, you know, to believe many people would say, oh, well, Morgan Freeman said this works for him, and he even, you know, subscribes to the fact that the children should have it. You know, like, really, really, really asking, you know, the Lord to intervene and stop him in his tracks and, you know, silence him from being able to say that, because, you know, we don't want God to silence us altogether. You know, and praying over his mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual healing. You know, I didn't read anything, you know, where he professes Christ in any way. So I'm not sure if he's ever been introduced to Jesus. We're just praying that if he hasn't, he will. If he has already, that Jesus reintroduces himself so that he can stop being an ambassador for that side and now start speaking for God on this side.
All right. Ooh, that's pretty loaded. Let's get to our prayer. Heavenly Father God, we come before you, and as always, we thank you for being such a merciful God. In our times of belligerence, in our times of ignorance, in our times of disobedience,
amen,
in our times where we're just so saturated in sin, times when we're oblivious of what's going on, you still are merciful. And God, we take this opportunity to lift up Morgan Freeman and those like him, the Heavenly Father, before you. You know, it's so good to know you, dear Heavenly Father, where so many of us are suffering with different ailments, where so many of us are facing an uphill battle in illnesses where we can't find any physical relief, God. And I think of the scripture that says that there was a thorn in Paul's flesh that he asked you, God, three times. And then he just settled on that you would just handle it. If I have to live with these thorns in my side, then so be it. And Lord, we know that it takes your relationship with you to come to that decision and that resolve. And we're lifting him as well as others who feel like they need some level of intoxicant or med to solve these aches and pains, to help us escape what we're feeling. When the pain, when the physical pain gets so bad and we find just that thing that's going to help give us some relief, we jump and we dive right into it, God. But thank you for introducing yourself to us. Well, we know that there is an alternative, that even if, as Paul said, we have to live with that thorn, those thorns in our flesh, no matter how intense it may be, we just lean on you, God, the master physician, the master healer, the master comforter, to Heavenly Father. And we pray that as old as Morgan Freeman is and as far into this as he is, it's not too late. It's not too late, God. And we know that you can step in at any given moment, God. And we ask you to do so. So with that same voice, where he's an ambassador for the weed, that he will be an ambassador for you. That how people are listening to how he's advocating and pushing and encouraging that particular med, if you will, that he would introduce people to you as the greatest physician there is. We're so grateful, dear Heavenly Father, that you sent your son for such a time as this, that the blood that was shed, could help us feel instead of 100%, we feel 75. Instead of feeling 150%, we only feel 100. And we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that you allow that individual to cross his path, that you allow that pamphlet, that billboard, that radio announcement, something, God, would come past him that would jolt him. Because we know he's heard of you before. You're not new, not to him.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, we know that it is your perfect will that none of us perish. And we have the same desire, dear Heavenly Father. So we pray, we place him in your bosom, dear God, so that you can wash away anything that he's been feeling, God. Ease that pain for him. And dull the pain enough that he can hear from you, God. Because sometimes we're just in that great deal of pain that we can't see anything else but just quick relief. So again, we say thank you for all of those, for those of us who know the power of prayer, for those of us who know what it is to lean on you and just grin and bear it, for those of us who know that we would love to get rid of this pain, but we just can't go that route. Because what does that say for our relationship with you? And, Lord, we pray that you would, as Shantice mentioned, that you would just silence that voice for, you know, people to use. Children, we don't need to introduce them to anything, because later, when it becomes something greater, we can't help reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, we're asking that for everyone who has heard this push, this support, and this encouragement to use weed, that you introduce yourself to them, that maybe they can tell him something. Or maybe someone who's already been down this journey and who has found that this is not the best, but that Jesus is the true answer, that they would now sound the alarm. Thank you, Father. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to lift someone else up before you, God, someone with such a great voice, someone who has been out here for so long and who has had such a big voice. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to just set the record straight that Jesus Christ is the way. In the name of Jesus, amen. We pray. Amen. Thank you, Shantice. Thank you so much for your contribution today. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. It's so good to be introduced to God. That's all I can say to you. That's all I can say. It's so good to be introduced to God and be introduced to God at a point where all of it sounds brand new and you're just like, I need to go to church. I need to give God my life. I need to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. So many people get this introduction, and for a long time I've been saying an invite to church is no longer what it used to be. God is not inviting you just to worship service. He's calling your name to save your life, because that's what it's really come down to. It's either do or die. It's just, you either dead for real and you ain't breathing no more, or you're dead and you are the walking dead. So all I can say is thank you, God, for the day you introduced yourself to me and I was prepared to listen. So for all of you who have been introduced to Christ and you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you just might want to do that. You just don't know. You don't want to miss that opportunity. You don't want to miss that opportunity. You know, as I was listening to Shantice about the fibromyalgia, and I think about the time, you know, I do, before I say that, you know, and no, everyone's pain is different. You know, everyone's level of tolerance is different. And there are literally days when I am paralyzed in pain. I can't even move. It kills me to move. I am screaming, whether it's out loud or internally, because I actually can bear a lot of pain. I have a high tolerance for pain, and I am yelling internally, oh my God, my body. And I really don't think people even get a good understanding as to what that is. So I don't doubt for one minute that his pain level may be so heavy that, you know, it's just unbearable. And you're just, again, you're just willing to grasp anything and everything that can take this pain away. But as he even describes what Shantice read, I think about the fact that he's still been able to function, because he's made quite a few movies since, you know, he started. So here's the problem. The enemy makes you think you're functioning well intoxicated. He's making these movies. He's remembering his lines, the block. And let me tell you something. There's a lot to acting. Oh, because not only do you have to know your lines, you got to know everybody else's lines, because how do you know when it's your turn to speak? There's a lot. So there's a reason why these people are paid mega bucks. And unfortunately, the enemy helps us to believe that, you know, we need this because, you know, this is going to be the only thing that can take away the pain, and I can still, quote unquote, function. And that's the scary part, because are we truly functioning? Imagine what he could do if he were not smoking weed. Because no matter whether it eases the pain or not, I can't say it does, I can't say it doesn't, because I'm sure for a lot of people it does. But it still doesn't mean it's not an intoxicant. So, you know, and I think about that, and I'm like, God, how many times have you just brought me through? And let me tell you something, pain meds don't work. There are no pain meds, as Shanti said, and probably, you know, because she hears from me. Those, the meds they give you for fibromyalgia, which has no cure, like she said, it kind of dupes you. There's some mental, it goes to the neurons in your brains and convinces you that your pain is not really pain, because part of fibromyalgia is you have a sensitivity to pain. So your pain at someone else's level one is level 900 for you. So, you know, as she was talking, I think about, oh, my God, there were times in here that I just could not function. But thanks be to God, who has just gotten me through and over that hurdle. And how is it that, you know, you've done it for me, and I know you can do it for someone else. I know you can do it for someone else. So, you know, if we were to just give Jesus a try, we'd be real surprised as to what he can do. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, fibromyalgia is a physical pain that actually affects your mental and emotional status and state. And some people have emotional and mental pain that equates to our physical pain. So God can do it all. That's the kind of God we serve. He can heal it all. That's the kind of God we serve. So I'm just excited as to, you know, who and what God is, and the fact that we're praying and knowing the works of prayer, knowing the power that God has, that we wouldn't even have to consider, you know, using this stuff. And, you know, I don't beat them up, you know, for it, but I just really pray that there is some healing that he experiences to the degree where he can really hear God, and he's not so intoxicated that, you know, nothing else matters, because that's really where it is for a lot of people who are addicted, and it's like nothing else matters. You know, if you can't get rid of this pain, whether it's emotional pain, mental pain, physical pain, you can't get rid of that pain, I'm not trying to hear you. So we really, you know, have to give God thanks that this is not us. Really give God thanks that this is not us. Well, tonight, God spares, you know, for those of you who have enjoyed our My Two Cents segment that we do periodically here, that's Shanti's, Brother Ainsley, and myself. We are on live tonight, where we have a video segment. We are introducing a video segment of My Two Cents, and we are focusing on the fact that there's a lack of diversity in all of these award shows for movies and TV. And we are not there. We are not there. There's no inclusion, pretty much, of us. And although there's been some slight improvement, you know, over the years since people have been making noise, that in the grand scheme of things, nah. You know, we're going to target the Writers Guild Awards, which is coming up in April. And we surveyed the list of nominees, and they have, let's say, screen, they have TV, they have comedy, they have drama, and I have to tell you, we were very, very poorly represented, despite what is on the big screen as well as your TV, because you had to be on, it did not, you know, focus on, let's say, YouTube, things like that, but yeah, we're really not included. So, you know, we're going to sound the alarm tonight, and we're going to review the movie and the adapted screenplay nominees, those that are on that list, as well as some movies we feel should have been included. So listen, if you love It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and you love Shanti's, and you enjoy Brother Ainsley, then I invite you, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, we're going to get it done tonight. We're looking forward to really talking about this thing, and we're going to take it off the audio circuit into the video circuit. So 7:30 tonight, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, God Spares Our Life. Please join us. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Well, again, until tonight, God spares. On YouTube Live, Facebook Live, we have our video segment of My Two Cents. Come on in the room and help us name some screenplays that have not been included and why you love them. Until then, I love you.